This is a problem we will be returning to throughout this book, but we should deal with it here at least as to how it related to Hitler and Nazism. The conventional story of Hitler's rise to power goes something like this. Hitler and the Nazis exploited popular resentment over Germany's perceived illegitimate defeat in World War I, the stab in the back by communists, Jews, and weak politicians, and the unjust peace imposed at Versailles. Colluding with capitalists and industrialists eager to defeat the Red Menace, including, in some of the more perfervid versions, the Bush family, the Nazis staged a reactionary coup by exploiting patriotic sentiment and mobilizing the conservative, often translated as racist and religious, elements in German society. Once in power, the Nazis established state capitalism as a reward to the industrialists, who profited further from the Nazis' push to exterminate the Jews. Obviously, there's a lot of truth here, but it's not the whole truth, and as we all know, the most effective lies are the ones sprinkled with the most actual truths. For decades, the left has cherry-picked the facts to form a caricature of what the Third Reich was about. Caricatures do portray a real likeness, but they exaggerate certain features for a desired effect. In the case of the Third Reich, the desired effect was to cast Nazism as the polar opposite of communism. So, for example, the roles of industrialists and conservatives were grossly exaggerated, while the very large and substantial leftist and socialist aspects of Nazism were shrunk to the status of trivia, the obsession of cranks and Hitler apologists. Consider William Shirer's classic, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, which did so much to establish the official history of the Nazis. Shirer writes of the challenge facing Hitler when the radicals within his own party, led by the SA founder Ernst Röhm, wanted to carry out a second revolution that would purge the traditional elements in the German army, the aristocracy, the capitalists, and others. The Nazis had destroyed the left, Shirer writes, but the right remained, big business and finance, the aristocracy, the Junker landlords, and the Prussian generals, who kept tight rein over the army. Now, in one sense, this is a perfectly fair version of events. The Nazis had indeed destroyed the left, and the right did remain. But ask yourself, how do we normally talk about such things? For example, the right in America was once defined by the so-called Country Club Republicans. In the 1950s, starting with the founding of National Review, a new breed of self-described conservatives and libertarians slowly set about taking over the Republican Party.